Well, good morning. I was sitting there thinking, well, a lot of these people probably came today expecting to hear Pastor Dwayne speak. And my mind, it's crazy what your mind goes through, right? My mind went through sometimes, how many people in here like a Big Mac from McDonald's? A lot of times a Big Mac is like the ultimate sandwich at McDonald's, right? But sometimes you had to get a cheeseburger, right? So today you ain't getting a Big Mac, but you're going to get the cheeseburger. But if you're hungry, it really don't matter what you're getting, right? Food's food. And if it's the right food, then it feeds you and it kills the hunger. But I don't want it to kill the hunger this morning. I want it to cause hunger. So this morning, I want to start by just telling all the fathers, Happy Father's Day. But God really impressed it on my heart to do this is not only to tell you guys and all of you Happy Father's Day, but I know there's a lot of people here that might have a husband or might have a grandfather or a father that you don't have the opportunity to tell them that vocally today. But you know what we can do? We can take just a moment to stand, and we can take just a moment as a moment of silence to show them the respect that they deserve, that their lives had on our lives, the impact that it made on our lives. Because I want to say this. I said it in the first service because it's unanimous, y'all. If you are where you are today because someone showed you an example, if you're a Christian and someone showed you that example, a father, a grandfather, a brother, whoever it might be, or a mother, if you're that in that position today that you're in because of someone else, raise your hand. It's unanimous. It's unanimous. And I want to take just a minute. If you would, please stand. We're going to have a moment of silence for the ones that's gone on before us, because we want to honor them and just show them the respect that they deserve for the impact that they had on our lives. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk just a few minutes before we get into the scripture this morning. I want to share just kind of a little story with you about my life and my personal relationship with my grandfather. By far, one of the most important people in my life. He was one of the most important persons in my life growing up. As a young man, I looked forward to the day that I could spend those weekends, that I could get up and go up to his house, to Granny's house, because I knew that my grandfather was going to take time to spend with me. Whatever he was doing, it really didn't matter to me what he was doing. I just wanted to be a part of what he was doing, right? And I would get up and go up, and it didn't matter. Like I said, we would get in the garden, or we would be bush hogging, or whatever it is that my granddaddy had planned. That's what I would do. And I enjoyed it. I looked forward to it. As life went on, the roles kind of reversed. As I become a father and married, and my life become busy and his life slowed down, the roles reversed, he then did whatever it took to spend time with me. He got involved with what I was doing, and he went to the places that I went. And most of the time, on Saturdays, if you've seen him, you've seen me. For the ones that know you, know my granddad and our relationship, you would say that's true. They say the apple don't fall far from the tree, and that's a true case. I looked at my granddad and the example he set, and, it was very special to me. But one thing that my granddad showed me that I'll never forget, I can remember days that he would go to work. He was a plumber. He would crawl under houses. He would do all kind of different jobs. But at the end of that afternoon, when he come home, he might be tired or whatever, but he in garden season, what he would do is he would go in, take his shoes off, and I knew he was fixing to put on some shoes, and he was fixing to head to the garden and do whatever it took to make sure that garden was maintained. I was ready. I was generally sitting there waiting on his truck to pull up, and when it did, we would get together and we'd go down in the garden, and we would work. I seen my granddaddy work. I mean, he worked until his shirt be wringing wet with sweat, and work didn't stop till the sun went down most of the time. He did not sleep good if he knew that he had something in his garden that wasn't supposed to be there. So, as I got married, and like I said, my life got a little bit busier, And in 1998, me and my wife married. I wanted to have a garden. I wanted to be like my granddaddy. I wanted to follow in his footsteps. We got a piece of land. It wasn't nothing major, just a small piece of land. And y'all, I told Natalie, I said, let's have a garden. And it wasn't. It was probably as big as this area right here, maybe a little bit bigger. Wasn't a whole lot. But we planted a garden. We plowed it. We tilled it. We plowed it. We'd go to work. We'd get home. We'd follow in those same footsteps. And we would get out in it and work. And I'm going to tell you something. Our garden wasn't very big, but that year it produced a lot of fruit, a lot of vegetables. It provided for me and her to eat for a while. Since then, that year, I ain't never thought about having another garden at all. Y'all laughing, but my life got busy, y'all. My life got busy. Started having kids. Started working a job, working over, all kind of different things, but I didn't really think about having a garden. Well, this spring, I told Natalie, I said, I think it's time for our family to have another garden. I think it's time we have a garden. She said, really? Where are we going to have it? And my mind got to turning. I said, well, we got a little old piece of land. It ain't about an acre. It's about a mile away from the house. And I told her, I said, we can have it up there. Ain't nothing on it. We can put it up there. The first thing she said, well, the deer is going to eat it alive because ain't nothing on it. That deer is going to have free reign. I said, you're probably right. Probably right. It'll probably eat it up. How many people has deer getting your garden? Yeah. You know, it's frustrating. And that's what I thought. I thought, man, maybe we shouldn't do it. But you may think I'm crazy. And you may not believe me. But I felt God pressing on my heart to have that garden. I told Natalie, I said, for some reason, I feel like God is trying to show us something through this garden. And I don't want to just be a part of it. I don't want you just to be a part of it. But I want my whole family to be a part of it. Let me tell you something. My girls, they weren't too excited about the idea of having a garden. Although, just like Kinsley sung, they listened to me. And they did what I asked. They didn't necessarily do it without complaining. And I know you probably wouldn't believe that they actually got in the garden and worked. So I brought a few pictures just to show you this morning. So if you would, you could take a look. There's Kaylee. Look at Kaylee's face. Look at it close. Look at Kaylee's face. She wasn't happy to be where she was at. But she was there because her father asked her to be there. Next picture. Caden. Caden's in the garden. He's planting seed, but what y'all can't hear is the video. Oh. Every time he throwed the seed, he throwed a grunt. Every time. Next slide. There's Kinsley. What you can't hear is Kinsley hoed out this row, right? So she hoes out this row. She gets down to the end and she says, this row is crooked as it can be. And I said, it sure is. You're going to have to go back to the front and start all over. She said, you can. That's what she said. But we planted that garden that day. As you can see, we put the seed, we prepared the ground, put the seed in the ground, dropped the seed in. And you can see on the next slide, continue to work. Next slide. There's the garden. That day, we had done what it took as a family, and we had prepared a garden. I'm going to tell you something. As a father that day, I was proud. I'm not going to lie to you. I was proud that I had gotten my family together. I was proud we come together. I was proud of what we had accomplished. And the next slide, right here, I took this picture because what we done is we prayed together over that garden. I told Natalie I felt like God was trying to show me something through this garden, our family something through this garden. And I think a lot of times when we get that feeling, we think we know what God is trying to show us. We think we know that he's trying to show us. And I thought that day when we left that garden, I said, you know what he's trying to show me and our family? If you be obedient, you do what he asks, and you plant the garden, and you believe that he's going to protect it, that you'll reap the harvest. That's what I thought that day. I left there thinking that that was exactly what God was going to show my family. But boy, was I fooled. I was fooled. I really had no idea what God was about to show my family. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Mark chapter 4 and verse 1. And I'm going to ask you to stand. When you find your places, stand for the reading of God's Word, please. And God's Word said, "And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables. And he said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears, let him hear. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you this morning, God. God, I ask for the next few minutes as we look into your word, as we listen to your voice. God, I pray, God, that you speak to our hearts. But Lord, I ask that we set everything that's going on in our life, all our plans today, everything that we got going on, we set that aside for the true reason you have us here today is to hear from you. And God, I pray that you just use me as a vessel and nothing more. It's nothing about me. It's all about you and what you want to do in people's lives. Lord, I ask you to do this in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So just to kind of get a picture here of what Jesus is doing. So in Matthew, the gospel, throughout the gospels, the Matthew, Luke, and Mark, this story is told. It's a little different perspective and different situations, but all the same gist, just a different perspective from a different person. But in Matthew it says Jesus was in the house and he came out by the sea. So he came out by the sea and a multitude, a crowd gathered around him. And they, you know why the crowd came? They wanted to hear from Jesus, right? The crowd came because they wanted to hear from Jesus. I want to ask you something today. Why did you come to church today? Come to church because it's Sunday? Did you come to church because it's Father's Day? Or did you come to church to hear from Jesus this morning and let him speak to your heart? We need to establish that, right? Amen? So they came together around Jesus so that he could teach them. But what did he do? It says there that he got into a ship and he went out on the edge of the sea and they stayed on the shore and he began to teach. I thought about why would he have done that? And my mind instantly went to this. Sometimes Jesus needs some room to be able to teach you something. Sometimes our lives get overcrowded and get so crowded that we don't make room for Jesus to show us anything or to teach us anything. We get so busy, so wrapped up. Sometimes we have to make room for Jesus to work in our life. And that's what I believe he was showing right there. But he went on. He started teaching the parable and he said this. He said, a sower went out to sow. A sower went out to sow some word, seed, right? Sower went out to sow seed. There was four different types of ground we just read about. The first ground was wayside ground. And wayside ground is hard ground. It's compacted ground. It's ground when the seed hits it, it don't penetrate. And it says the fowls of the air come down, swooped it, and it's gone. The second type ground was stony ground. A lot of people think of stony ground as just rocks all over the place, rocks everywhere. But no, if you do some studying a little bit, you'll find out stony ground looks like it might be good ground. It looks like that you might can grow something there. But there's something underneath the ground that's hard. There's something hidden under just a shallow layer of dirt that is very hard. And then there's thorny ground. And thorny ground is ground that allows the seed to grow. It begins to grow, and it begins to look like it's going to produce. But then there's something that comes up in that same ground that begins to choke out the life of the seed. And then there's good ground. And good ground, what does it say? It says good ground will produce some 30, some 60, and some 100. It will multiply, and you will be able to reap harvest from good ground. So notice, out of those four types of ground, there's three types of ground that don't produce anything. Right? Am I right? Y'all stay with me. There's three types of ground that don't produce anything. There's only one type of ground that you can reap from. So three out of four times, depending on what kind of ground it is, it didn't work. But there's 25% of the time is all those, that sower, when he threw that seed, all that produced the multiplied the fruit or the vegetables or whatever seed he was sowing was 25% of the time. Yo, I thought about that. One out of four times that the sower sowed the seed, it multiplied and produced. In that text that we just read and I just talked about, I just described each and every single individual in here of the age accountability in one of those categories, your life. Every person in here, from the front to the back, all in here. You see, what we do on a daily basis, we provide God ground for his seed. We give God ground each day, y'all. And Jesus, as Jesus got back with the disciples and left the crowd, the disciples had to ask him a question. The disciples said, Jesus, you could have talked about anything you wanted to talk about. These people came to hear you. You could have talked about you being the Savior, the Messiah, everything else. But you chose to talk about agriculture. You chose to talk about farming. Why? Jesus answered that question too. Because here's what he said. He said, if you don't get this one right, if you don't get this one right, the others you'll never get right. If you don't get this one right, you won't get the others right. And then Jesus went on to describe exactly what he meant by that parable. And I told the first service, I may mess something up. I may tell you something that may be a little bit off, and you may not understand what I say. But I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus is talking, he don't mess up. He don't go out of the way. He don't go out of the way and get off in left field somewhere. He tells the truth. And if your life is going to benefit from it, you got to listen. Verse 9, this is what it says. We read it a while ago. He says, he that has ears, let him hear. How many people in here has got ears? Some of them didn't raise their hand. Y'all see anybody without ears? I ain't seen nobody come through the door without ears. Everybody's got ears. But what he was saying is, it's possible to have ears and not hear. It's possible to have ears and not hear. If you don't believe it, how many men you'd be talking to your wife, and she's into the phone or she's into a TV show, and you'd be talking, and ask a question, all of a sudden she'll look over and say, you say something? Y'all, it's possible to hear, but not hear. It's possible to see, but not see, right? I think there was probably people there that day, they heard Jesus, but they really didn't hear him. They saw Jesus, but they didn't see him for who he truly was that day. That's possible. When we come into God's house, that's the same way. There's a lot of people that come in here today, you'll hear the word, but you won't hear the word. You'll see me up here preaching, or you'll see Dwayne preaching, which we are nothing, but the things that you see, no big deal. And we're not a big deal. Don't take me wrong in that. I'm just saying, sometimes your perspective is not exactly what God intends for it to be. Jesus explained exactly what he was talking about. I want to go on just a little further in this and tell you in verse 11, it says, "And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without all these things, they are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest any hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven." Verse 13, it says, "And he said unto them, know ye this parable, and how then will you know all parables?" Here's where we're going to start. Jesus' explanation of what we just talked about. This is Jesus explaining himself. The sower sows the word. So that means the seed is the word. Amen? You believe that, say amen. The seed is the word. So the sower sows the seed. And then we're going to discuss the types of ground that the seed can fall on. It says, in verse 15, it says, "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." So he says, if you got wayside ground, the seed may get sown on there, but it never penetrates, and as soon as Satan gets an opportunity, he's going to come and steal the seed. There's a lot of people that come into the house with wayside ground, and the seed falls upon that ground, but the moment they walk out that door, Satan begins to attack and steal their seed. That's wayside ground. The next type of ground is stony ground. You know, we talked about stony ground being something just under the surface that's hard. How many times does God's word, you come in here and you hear it, and it says in here, it says you'll perceive and you'll agree with it. How many times is Dwayne or myself or whoever is up here preaching and you agree with everything they're saying? You're like, amen, that's God's word, amen, amen, amen. And then you get out and there's something underneath that nobody else can see that's in your life that you're dealing with every day, and it's hard. It's something that will not allow the seed to take root and grow. It's a hidden object. And then there's thorny ground, y'all. Thorny ground is what brought this message upon me. Thorny ground is what brought it upon me. I'm going to be honest with you. Thorny ground, Jesus says, it appears to be good ground. It is good ground. And it begins to grow, and it begins to produce up growth. But there's something in that same ground that comes up and begins to choke the seed. It begins to choke the seed. And you remember the pictures that I just showed you a while ago? I left there that day proud, happy as a father, that I had gotten my family together. We had done something God laid on my heart. I left there that day proud. And that was good ground. But I didn't realize that it was going to turn into thorny ground. I want to show you a picture. You can laugh. You can do whatever you want to do. Y'all, this hit home to me. This really hit home to me. You see, I thought God was going to show me something of blessings. I thought God was going to show my family something that we would produce and we would reap the benefit of just sowing the seed. I had no idea that I was fixing to get shown what I got shown. This ground here was the same ground that I left that day I was proud of. I went around telling people, oh, me and my family sowed a garden. We got out. We worked hard. We planted seed in the ground. We did everything that we needed to do. And we prayed over it at the end. But let me tell you something. This picture was taken yesterday. Lately, I ain't told nobody about this garden. I ain't told a soul about that garden because I'm ashamed of it. Y'all, thorny ground, Jesus says, the cares of this world. He described what chokes it out. He describes what those weeds are. The cares of this world, the deceitful of riches, and the lust of all things. That's what gets in your garden. That's what is choking the life out of those seeds that I planted, that me and my family planted. The cares of this world, the deceitful in riches, and the lust of all things. And don't take this wrong. I'm not saying by one mean it's wrong to have anything. I'm saying it's a blessing to have it. But you got to treat it like a blessing. But you got to treat God like He's God. You got to make sure you give Him what He deserves. Because I'm going to tell you something. He didn't bless you with anything that He wants you to put it before Him. Nothing. If something ain't going right in your life that you're working on or that you got going on, give it to God. Give it to God. He blessed you with it. It's His anyway. Start using it for that. But y'all, there's days that I rode by this garden. I rode by this garden, y'all. I want to show you something. In my truck, in the back, I rode by that garden many days with this right here in my back of my truck. I had every intention on going by there and beginning to get the weeds out of my garden. But you know what? Those intentions, because I didn't put it to action, my garden began to get choked out. The seed began to get choked out because I didn't do what I needed to do to get it out. Look, that garden didn't get that way overnight. That garden got that way little by little. Little more every day. Little more every day. I never went by to get it, what was in it out, and it continued to grow. It continued to grow. Until it got to the point, guess what? When I'd go by there, I was like, ain't no way I can get all that out. Ain't no way I can do that. So many times in our lives as Christians, that's exactly what we do. Things just get in just a little bit, and they begin to grow, and they begin to grow, and we don't do what we need to do. We don't take the tool that God has given us, which is the Word of God, and we don't get it out of our lives. We don't put forth the effort, just like I didn't, to have a clean garden. Let me tell you something. Holy living matters. It matters. It matters, y'all. I ain't saying everybody's perfect. I ain't saying nobody's perfect. There ain't but one perfect man that ever walked on the face of this earth. But I'm going to tell you something. Christian living, it takes effort. You have to do it daily, or you'll wind up with your life looking like this garden. Yes, I'm embarrassed by that. Natalie said yesterday when I went by there and took a picture, she had no idea. I didn't tell her that I was going to show this, but she had an inclination. She said, you ain't going to show that, are you? What are you ashamed of that you're not showing? What are you ashamed of this morning that you're not letting people see? Because I can guarantee you, there's things in your life, in my life, and everything. We run against things, y'all. I thought about the break that we've had. You know, we did online for 9 or 10 weeks, and we've just had online service, and we haven't been coming to service. I'm not a numbers person. I'm not a numbers person, but the thing is when we first went online and nothing else, You see the excitement on Facebook. You see people post. You see people calling on God. You see people doing a lot of different things. Every other post was something about God. But the longer we went, you started to see that stuff fall away some. You started to see it get neglected some. You started to see the numbers that was watching online services, not just this church, but every church. You started to see them decline because we began to get comfortable with the things that we was dealing with. When we needed God and we was worried to death about what was going on in our lives and what was going to happen, we was all about getting to Him. We was all about worshiping. We was all about serving Him. We was all about doing everything. But sometimes we get too comfortable as Christians. Y'all, it takes work. You know what I found myself doing? You know what I found myself doing? I was riding down the road, and I'd be looking at somebody else's garden. I'd ride down the road, and I'd look, and I'd say, man, they got a nice garden. I was envying what they had, thinking, man, I wish my garden looked like that. And you know what my garden was doing the whole time that I was looking at somebody else's? Weeds was getting taller. It was choking out the seed even more. And I was worried. I was looking at what somebody else's garden was doing. A lot of times, y'all, we don't look at our own lives. We begin to get our eyes focused on somebody else and what God's doing in their life. And let me tell you something. God don't respect persons. He'll do in your life what you allow Him to do. Anything that you allow Him to do in your life, He'll use for if it's His will, right? But we sure can't stop Him from doing something in our life. Every day, you present ground to God. You present ground to God every day. And you're going to present one out of the four. You're either going to present wayside ground, you're going to present stony ground, or you're going to present thorny ground, or you're going to present good ground. So let me ask you, what's God doing in your life? Are you as close to God as you once was? Or are you seeing God move in your life? Or have you fallen away from God? The thing is you have to acknowledge where you're at, y'all. You cannot have stony ground and think you got good ground. That's where it comes a problem. Acknowledging where you're at and doing what it takes to get good ground presented to God is what we got to do. It's a daily effort. Man, you know one thing that I did here? I got discouraged, and for 7 or 8 days, I wouldn't even go by there. I wouldn't go by there. But there was one Saturday that we got together, me and Natalie went up, and we hoed around just a little bit with the vegetables and stuff, and she had hoed around a zucchini, and 6 or 7 days later, I went by there. Didn't want to because I knew what I was going to see because I hadn't been doing what it took to keep the weeds out at all. So I went by there. And I noticed on a zucchini plant that she had hoed around, I found a zucchini. That zucchini is big, right? I mean, most people pick zucchini before it gets this big. And I was like, man, I missed it. I didn't come by here because I didn't want to see the garden. I didn't want to see all the stuff that I knew I needed to do. I missed the opportunity to reap the harvest. It done got too big. I laid that in my truck seat, and I drove it around for a long time. And I'd look over at it, and God began to deal with my heart. He said, that's exactly what so many people do. There's a lot of times because your life gets in a position or gets in a way that you don't want to face the realness of what's really going on and what Jesus is telling you. A lot of times you miss the opportunity to reap the harvest. A lot of times you miss the opportunity to reap. And I said, what if that opportunity is a loved one that don't know the Lord? And because your garden ain't clean, you don't go by and you don't witness to them or you don't show them Christ, and they don't know Christ because of that. We don't know. A missed opportunity, you don't know what it was. I want to go back to Stony Ground just a minute, because I really believe that a lot of us deal with that. I really do believe that. I believe a lot of us have some things that we just don't want people to see. We don't want people to know. I want to tell you something. The enemy will take those things and destroy your life. He will. He'll destroy your life with something that's hidden under the surface. And the things that these eyes can see, it appears that everything's looking good. The enemy will use that what's underneath to keep you from ever drawing root, to keep you from ever taking hold of the seed and letting it grow in your life. But God said there's good ground. God said you can harvest and multiply and draw from fruit from good ground. Y'all, we present ground to God every day. Every day we present ground before our God. Let me tell you something. I had a friend call me one time when he knew where my garden was at, because I had told him that what we had done and when I was happy about it, but I hadn't mentioned it. But I had a friend call me. This is what he said. He said, "You need a goat for your garden?" That's what he said. I thought, man, he's seen my garden. Y'all, people look at us. People look at us every day as Christians. And no, it's not about them looking at us. It's not us that they should see. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that they should see. That's what they should see. But if we're going around and we're allowing our garden to get like this, and the seed that is scattered on ground, and if you got bad ground and you're not doing what it takes to get it, hey, at the end of the day, we all run against things. We all deal with things. We all have troubles. We all have trials. We all have things we go through. But we can still do that. We can still do that allowing God to work in our life. It may take some effort. It may take some work to get in there. Look, if I would have got out there, if I would have got out there in that garden when that little blade of grass just first come up, how easy I could have went. And I could have got those weeds out in just a matter of a few minutes. But because I chose not to, because I didn't do it, guess what? They done took root. They done took root now. And now, you're talking about a lot of effort to go out there and get it out. You better have God's help to do it, because you'll get frustrated. You'll get frustrated and you'll quit. And you'll give up trying to get it out. It's daily, y'all. It's daily activity, being a Christian, going in and daily keeping our lives clean. If you believe that this morning, say amen. I'm going to ask you to please stand. You know, I really don't believe in coincidence. Dwayne shared with you earlier. I didn't expect God to show me this when I planted that garden. But I fully believe He did it for a reason. Because the cares of this life, the deceitful in riches, the lust of other things, it can take opportunities. It can take things from you if you don't put them in the right perspective. And I truly believe that today, I mean, how do you other explain it than for this man to get a phone call? He came with a suit on. He didn't even drive his work truck. He didn't drive anything up here other than his regular truck, just a Sunday morning going through his normal routine. expecting to preach. I'm standing here singing. I didn't even know he was coming up here. And he says, I got a call. He didn't tell you, but the people that he had to go get their power back on, they go to this church. They go to this church. God makes opportunities for us. There's no coincidences in God. And I honestly believe this morning, there's some people here that this opportunity is exactly for you. It's exactly for you. God has opened the door for you to present some ground to Him this morning. I do believe that with all my heart. All my heart. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads. And I want to ask this question. I want you to think about what ground you're presenting God this morning. I want you to think about where the seeds fallen. If there's anyone here this morning that says, man, the seed's not penetrated my life. It's fell on hard ground and my heart's hard. And I've never allowed it to sink in. I've never even accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And as soon as I walk out that door, that seed gets stolen away by the enemy. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to call anybody out. But if that's you today, just raise your hand. Anybody in the house at all? Anybody at all? Today you may say, I'm not where I used to be with God. At one time in my life, I was closer to God than I am now. I'm not giving Him the right type of ground, good ground, to grow in my life. Because different things, cares of this world, different things is just choking it out. And I'm having a difficult time right now. And I just want to be honest. I believe this message...